Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet
amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad.
Amazing why. Yeah, yeah. Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. If you just tuned in, if you've been listening already, well, you know what that means. Yes, let's say it all together. That means you're a highly intelligent individual. Anybody who listens to this show over and over again, that's a mark of high intelligence and extreme discerning on your part. And we congratulate you on that. You should be congratulated on that, especially now that you know. I know why you're hanging around, though. You're waiting on Leslie Kossoff to join us. I know what's going on out there. You love Leslie Kossoff because she's been on the show many times before. You know how smart she is. You know all the great things that she helps us with, especially the perspectives that she helps us to gain, which are a little bit different from the ones that we get when we're in the trenches. Leslie helps us get up into the, maybe a little bit into a latitude, or I should say an elevation above our businesses, and look down a little bit and have a little bit better perspective. She's the author of Managing for Quality. If I'm not mistaken, she was the last assistant to Edwards Deming, the father of quality, the global father of quality. She's also the author of one of my favorite books, Executive Thinking, and she's our good friend all the way from London, England, Leslie Kossoff. Welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Now, I like to tell the. In fact, I've already told two people today about you being on. Somebody actually earlier in the previous hour mentioned Edwards Deming.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about intellectual property, and he mentioned Edwards Deming, and I said, "Well, you'll be interested to know that my guest in the next hour, one of my guests in the next hour, was an assistant to Dr. Edwards Deming, and I said, I think I was correct about this, that you were his last assistant. Is that right?"
I was just about the last. I worked with him. He died when he was just 93 years old, and I worked with him until a few months before his death.
Well, I was thinking in terms of productive years,
yeah.
you were one of the last ones there as far as helping him out there. What? By the way, how are things in England?
Lovely, thank you. You know, in fact, no complaints over here. And what's very interesting is that there's quite a lot of active interest in Deming and in the concepts of quality and transformation over here, both on the public and the private sector side.
Is that new now, or is that a resurgence?
It's not new.
In England, I mean.
It's not new at all. In fact, he had quite a large following over here during his lifetime. But most recently, it's been interesting because there's been a lot of press coverage of the fact that Deming's methods have served and continue to serve so many organizations so well, and they're using them to create organizational transformation. And as I said, that's something that's being talked about a lot, and particularly being applied to small businesses. I was listening to your the end of your segment just before I came on, and you were talking about the relationship with the banker and use mm-hmm. of money and all of the rest. And even though Deming himself never liked talking about money, it's, you know, it was a reality that he always knew had to be dealt with.
Right.
But the way that it's being talked about here now, which I think is really appropriate, is value for money. And that is a quality concept where literally for every single dollar, or in my case over here, pound that's spent, that you're literally getting more for the value of that dollar and you're giving more to your customers.
So this is not just a resurgence of Deming's quality approaches. This is raising it to a new level, a 21st century level, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I'm glad to hear that. And folks, what I'd like to, the way I like to describe
the quality process, and especially from a dimming standpoint. And this is because a lot of, Leslie, as you know, a lot of small businesses have a hard time getting their hands around quality, because when you think of quality, they say, oh, of course, you know, we provide quality service. And what that means to you is that when something gets broken, you fix it immediately. And your customer's happy because when something didn't work or whatever might have happened, you were right there, Johnny, on the spot. Well, what Dr. Demings showed us and what Leslie helps us understand is not quality service, but quality process. And quality process means that it didn't get broken to begin with. Right, absolutely. Leslie?
Yes.
And that's where the efficiencies, that's where the ROI for a quality process comes in, isn't it?
It is. And the more that you invest in the early stages, what Deming called the zero stage before the problem occurred,
right,
the more money you make later.
Absolutely. And when we come back, we're going to get you to explain what you mean by value for money, the transformation of value for money, right after these messages. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our good friend, Leslie Kossoff, is our guest. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us today. Got some good stuff lined up for you, and Leslie Kossoff is our guest. She's got some important things to tell us about. Talk to us about transformation and value for money.
Okay. What it comes down to is that quality initiatives are always treated as if they are a cost to the organization, and there isn't adequate analysis done to determine what the value for that investment is going to be. It's not a cost. It's actually an investment. The more that you look at where you have problems, particularly in the early stages of your process, the more that you will be able to identify where further down the line you'll be able to not only offset those costs, but actually start actively increasing your profit. What happens in the process? So you've got, that's the value for money component, is that as you spend the time looking at the early stages and building out from the early stages, you're already gaining a return on your investment. The transformational component is that what it takes to achieve that is an active participation by all of your employees giving you the knowledge that they have about what goes wrong and their assessment of why it goes wrong and what their recommendations are about what can be done about it.
So you know where to spend the money and how much?
Absolutely.
The right way, rather than just what you think is the right way. Because I've seen that many times now. I've unfortunately seen it in my own organization, but also in other organizations where the boss thought he or she knew what should be done and spent the money and maybe didn't even ask anybody else, and it completely missed the mark.
It's absolutely true. And keep in mind, when vendors come to you with a solution, they're not going to come to the lower level people in the organization. They're going to come right to you, the small business owner.
That's exactly
because you've got the checkbook.
They're trained to ask who's making this decision.
Absolutely. And they're doing their job, and that's fine. That's good for them. But the problem is they're selling you very often something that is not going to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
And so before you make any kind of vendor decisions, and this is another value for money component in quality initiatives, before you ever spend any money on outside vendors, you absolutely look to see all of the things that you can do that are already within your control. Now, back to Deming's world, given that 97% of what happens in an organization is predictable, you may not
say
like
that
it.
Again.
97% of what happens in your organization is predictable. You may not like it, but you or someone else in there can predict that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you've got, in effect, 97% of the answers already inside of your organization. How ridiculous to go out and spend money on an answer when chances are very, very great you can solve it from within.
I'm trying to boil this down to some rhetoric and some, or I should say, some terminology, some role playing that can be used in a regular small business, whether it's in England or in America. And I'm imagining, you know, a small business owner and their and five or six employees maybe, and they get together for a meeting because you and I told them they should. And because they don't have that many regular meetings. And I'm trying to give the boss something to say to get the ball rolling, to get him or her the information they need. What would be wrong with this? Okay, folks, when it comes to doing business with our customers, when it comes to dealing with our vendors, when it comes to operating this business, let's write down on a sheet of paper, where's the pain? Would there be anything wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. I can tell you exactly the question that I ask when I'm working with organizations, no matter how large or small. I literally sit down with them and I say, okay, when you look at the stuff that's going on inside of this organization, everything, what makes you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
What's the stuff that just drives you nuts, that no matter what you do, you can't seem to fix it, it keeps happening,
right.
It makes you crazy.
And no matter who... And if you know who's causing it, it doesn't matter who it is. I want to know who it is right now. If it's me, I want to know about it.
Yep, it is. And you know, and you have to manage the finger pointing among the employees. He's not doing his job. She's not doing hers.
Right.
Because that's not the purpose of this. So you have to set some ground rules initially that say, look, we're going to be talking about this. What's said in the room stays in the room. It's just amongst us. We're not talking about this to anyone else. And when we're talking, don't blame, unless you want to point your finger at me, business owner.
Right.
Don't lay blame. Don't point fingers at anyone.
Well, you can frame it differently. You can say the purchasing, you know, the sales department could say, I wish that I had quicker information out of accounting, instead of saying the accountant's not doing their job.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have so much pain. I wouldn't be so crazy if I had quicker information. And then the accountant will probably say, well, okay, I would be able to do my job better if I had more accurate records that came in from the sales force.
Absolutely.
Rather than say, John the salesman is a dummy.
Yes, there it is. And that's the difference. And the more that you can get at a functional view, and now this is speaking directly to the business owner, the more that you're looking at it from a functional view and not an individual view, the more that you're looking at process, only process.
Now that we've identified how to have the meeting, how to ask the questions, and now when we come back, Les is going to help us take those answers and get an ROI, a return on investment, and apply this value for money right after these messages. 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. If I had to pick a theme song for small business owners, it'd be this Atlanta Rhythm Section song. Still gotta try, folks.
That's right.
No matter what the people say. I know you do that. You people tell you you can't do it, and you do it anyway. And Leslie Kossoff is our guest. And Leslie, I don't know how many times I've had people say to me, how did you do that? And I say, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, it's true. And people tell me I'm the bravest person that they know because I started my own small business. And to me, it just made the most sense.
Yeah.
In the world. Yeah. I know.
If you've got what it takes, you know, you don't think it's all that big a deal, but yeah, it is plenty challenging. And okay, Leslie. By the way, I want your website, please. What's your website?
It is. Actually, there are two. And so there is www.kossoff, which is spelled K-O-S-S-O-F.com. And there's also, if you're interested in what I'm doing on the public service side, particularly here in Britain, there is www.businessandpolitics, all one word, .co.uk.
Okay, business and politics?
Yeah, business and politics.
.co.uk. All right.
Yes, and if you go to my Kossoff.com website, do please sign up for my free executive advisory, which comes out just about every month.
And it's free, right?
It is. It's free.
And it's worth $1 million, folks, so it's a good one. I really encourage you to do that. And her books are Executive Thinking and Managing for Quality, and both of which I think small business owners should have in their library and that they should read. Okay, Leslie, we've had our meeting. We've asked where the pain is. We've asked what makes them crazy. They've told us some things, and now we got to get to the ROI. Why would we do this? How does it manifest into an ROI, into a return on investment?
We're going to take your example of accounting and sales not talking to one another. And basically, that's what it comes down to. It's that they're giving each other information, but it's not the information that they need when they need it. And that's the process you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so what then goes on is that you have the accounting person and the salesperson and you sit down together and say, okay, where are we running into problems? What information is it that you need? By when do you need it? And there's a negotiation process that goes on. Keep in mind, this is the first step in an ongoing improvement process. You may have a long-term goal that is the absolute universal best answer ever. You may not be able to get there immediately. So you figure out what the first step is, what the second and third steps are, and you start working on those. Every one of those steps is tied to a cost benefit for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
If accounting needs information from sales earlier, it's because accounting can then bill sooner, which means the business gets the money in faster.
It also can mean that the salesperson gets a report back quicker so that when they make that next call, they don't make the call 2 hours before the report was done. The report's done 2 hours before they make the call. They go in with the right information and they serve the customer better, therefore eliminating having to make another run out to the customer's office, which is a broken quality.
Absolutely, and substantially increasing the sales in one fell swoop.
Exactly, and it could be that, you know, when you were talking about your example, Leslie, all I could think about was some low-hanging fruit in the form of technology.
Oh, God, yes.
Maybe we just need to get another device in the hands of the salesperson and somehow figure out how to get that point of sale, that information, almost to a point of sale situation where it gets back to the accounting department and then put that in and spit the report out.
And the answer is a BlackBerry.
Yeah, I got one of those.
You know,
and mine's not a CrackBerry either. I'm not addicted to it.
No, but it can be just that simple. Something as simple and straightforward as a BlackBerry where accounting and sales are emailing each other real-time basis, and all of the information that needs to be there is there when it needs to be there. And that way, no matter which side of the equation you're on, you're working to a much higher level of efficiency.
Or it could be instant messaging.
Absolutely, that's true.
It could be text message. It could be it could be that simple, folks, that when you get these people communicating, that the result is the process works better, more efficiently, and when you serve the customer more accurately, that's quality, isn't it?
It is. It is absolutely. And again, to your point of instant messaging or text messaging, if whoever is out there on the road has their laptop with them or definitely has their cell phone, then they've got that capability already.
Right.
And one of the things that you want to do in a quality process is identify where you have resources already available to you.
Hey, Leslie, thank you for that. Thank you for your time. Thank you for all you do for small business owners now in England. Thank you very much, Leslie. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure.
Leslie Kossoff, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.